I was sitting there listening to that song, and I was thinking about the song this morning, and I was all the songs that we've had today have reminded me about something in the past. I don't know what you're doing today, Michael, but I don't know what you're trying to do to me, but stop it. That's all I got to say. I almost couldn't talk about Romania this morning. I don't know if you noticed that or not. It was pretty difficult, and it's not that Romania choked me up much, but I just it was difficult. It was just an exciting time that we had there on that mission trip. And you were singing that song today tonight, and it just reminded me of my youth time. That was a great song. I always loved singing that song in my younger years. And I had lunch this afternoon with a great couple. And he was telling me about the accident that he was in, and he had that accident 6 days after I was born. I'll just let that sink in for a minute. All right. So, yes, I'm young. I get it. It's all good. It's all good. We're in Galatians tonight, and I'm going to do one of the things that I like to do every now and then. I like to take a book of the Bible and just tear right through it. And instead of spending weeks and months walking through it, I like to just pick a few things out of it and just rip right through it. And so I like to title every now and then a sermon called The Survey of Something. And so tonight's a survey of the book of Galatians. We're going to look at four verses in the book of Galatians. There's no slides but the one you got on the screen. That's it. All right. Not like this morning. I don't know what you saw this morning, and I'm not a slide person, really, and so hopefully they all worked out well. I don't really know. I just know what I gave to Donna, who did an awesome job, and Loretta, I get your name right one of these days. She did an awesome job punching the button, I hope. And but tonight, we're going to look at the book of Galatians, and so I want to give you a little background on the book of Galatians, what it's about, what Paul was talking about in the book of Galatians. And then we're going to look at four key passages in the book of Galatians that will help us to understand what Paul was talking about in the book of Galatians, apply it to us, and then look at in those four passages, three of those, and how we can be better believers in our walk by looking at how Christ can be applied in our life. Okay? And so, as we look at this, let's just kind of understand that. Of course, we'll look at other scriptures. As you saw this morning, I love scripture, and I love using it because there's no better way to show you what the Bible has to say than showing you the Bible. Amen. And so that's just the way it is. So let me give you the four scriptures that we'll be looking at tonight, so you can kind of put your finger in there. But they're all in these six chapters. So we're going to just kind of be right here. I'll give you a bunch of scripture. If you miss them, no biggie. Just say, hey, I missed those. Can you give them to me? I'll give them to you later. It's no big deal. Okay? Because I have them here in my notes. But the four verses that we're going to spend some time in this evening are Galatians 1:6, where Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly turned away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turned to a different gospel. We're going to look at Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're going to look at Galatians 3:27. For those of you who are baptized into Christ, Christ has been clothed with Christ. And then finally, we'll look at the last chapter, Galatians 6, in verses 1 through 3. And we might throw a couple extra in there when we get there. But it'll say, brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit. Watch out for yourself so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Amen? See, in Galatians, the churches there in Galatia, in that area, had a serious problem just like we do. And we find that problem written in Galatians 1:6. They had turned away from the gospel that Paul had preached to them. And in the last three verses, or the last three set of verses that we'll look at, Paul gives them basic instructions on how to get themselves back right with God. How to get back into the right position, the right place that they need to be. But for us to really understand why the churches in the region of Galatia turned away from God, you need to really understand who these people are. Because really for us to understand why people do what they do, we need to understand who those people are, right? I mean, you know, for me to understand why you all do what you do, I have to know who you are. And for you to understand why I do what I do, you have to know who I am. I'm just crazy. That's all you need to know. You'll figure that out pretty fast. And it'll take me a while to figure out what you do. But these people in Galatia were people who in centuries before, like in the 5th century B.C., used to live up in the regions of France and Belgium and those areas. And they migrated down from that area and came along. And unbeknownst to them, they decided because of a king, Nicolaus I, he asked them to come and help him fight a civil war. They hopped themselves across into what is known as Turkey today. And around 275 B.C., they came across over there in that peninsula. And when they did that, they just stayed there. And throughout the centuries, they got hooked up with the Romans and a whole bunch of other things that I won't bore you with. But that's where they ended up being. And one of the issues that they had is that they pretty much would fight for anybody for any reason. Didn't really matter. They didn't really care. They just liked to fight. You ever know anybody like that? Just likes to fight. They don't really care why. That's the way the Galatians were. And they just kind of just hung out there. Julius Caesar said this about these people. He said that they were that their biggest infirmity was that they were fickle in their resolve, fond of change, and not to be trusted. Now you need to think about what he said. They're fickle people, fond of change, and not to be trusted. This is why when Paul brought them the gospel of Jesus Christ, he gave them a great thing. They finally had something that they could hang on to, something that they could hold into and say, this is true. Paul says, listen, here is Jesus Christ, the gospel, and you can hang on to this and hold on to this. But then somebody else comes along, and guess what they do? What their nature tells them to do. They change. They move away from that gospel. And so Paul, he's I'm amazed. Why, what you doing up there? These churches had some false teachers come into them and manipulate them and move them and change them and push them away. And the gospel that they were teaching was that you can have Jesus Christ, but you need some other things. Ever hear any churches teach that stuff? If you want salvation, you need salvation plus. You need Jesus plus. You need to do, and you just add some things. That's what these people were teaching. Judaizers at this time. They're teaching a false gospel. And so the book of Galatians was written to clarify and to defend the truth of the gospel in the face of false gospels. It's something that Paul worked on a lot. If you read any of his letters, you'll find it over and over again. He's always defending against false teaching. Always defending against false teaching. In chapters 1 of Galatians through 2:10, he is defending his message and his authority. In chapters 2 and verse 11 through 4:31, through the end of that chapter, he uses the Old Testament to talk about the gospel message. And then through the rest of the Galatians, he demonstrates the gospel message. Paul is seriously concerned about the churches in Galatia. Not just one church, but all these churches. And he has to identify himself. And if you'll see, if you're in Galatians with me, look in Galatians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul had to substantiate himself, who he was. I'm an apostle. Not because Jonathan said I'm an apostle, and not because Michael said I'm an apostle, not because these church leaders put their hands on me and said I'm an apostle, but I'm an apostle because God and Jesus Christ said I'm an apostle. And later on in this chapter, in verse 11 through 2:10, he says, here's why, and he gives his whole background of how he became an apostle. We're not going to go into that tonight. You read it for yourself. If I spent all the time teaching all the things that are in the book of Galatians, we'd be here more than 30 minutes. It's fascinating the things that Paul says about how he became an apostle. But Paul dispenses with something in the book of Galatians that he does in every other letter. He dispenses with his normal greeting of, hey, you guys are doing great. Let me pray for you. Let me give you a kudos. Let me do this. And he gets right to the meat of the trouble. And in verse 6, he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly turned away from the gospel of him who called you. What are you people doing? I'll paraphrase for you. What are you doing? I told you the truth of the Word of God, and yet you ran after something fake. It's like eating a steak, and then somebody says, I've got something better for you, and they feed you some fake steak. You ever been in the military and had rehydrated meat or whatever they called that crazy patty thing you put water on and it, yeah, see, some of you are laughing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That's not meat. Yeah. I don't know what that is. It's like the difference between mashed potatoes and instant potatoes. Or real milk and powdered milk. I get someplace where y'all know what I'm talking about here, right? That's when you've had the real thing, the fake stuff is no good. And that's what Paul's talking about here. I've given you the real stuff. Why are you messing around with the fake stuff? I'm amazed that you have moved away from what has been the truth. What I've given to you is the truth. Why are you moving away from the truth? But even more importantly, Paul says here, from him who called you. I want you all to know that if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, God called you. He's called you. Listen to what I'm saying. He's called you. What has He called you to? I'm going to deviate just slightly because I want you to understand this from the survey of Galatians and give you a survey of the Bible. May I do that for a moment? But really, you don't have much of a choice because I'm up here and you're down there. Let me just give you a quick little thing. If you're writing notes, here we go, because I'm going to give you a bunch of verses real fast. Romans 8:30 says, and those whom he predestined to, as he called, and those whom he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. See, God called us so that he could justify us, and he justified us so he could glorify us. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful to those that he called to the fellowship of the Son of Jesus Christ our Lord. He called us so that he could have fellowship with us. In Galatians 1:5, but when God, who was from my birth, set me apart, he called me to his grace. See, God set us apart to his grace. In 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12, he says, you know, like a father of his own children, we encourage, comfort, and implore each one of you to walk worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. In 1 Peter 1:14-16, obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he calls you, you be holy as he is holy in your conduct. God's called us to be holy. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That was the word I tried to spit out this morning. That ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't it great we don't walk in the dark anymore? Amen? 2 Peter 2:1-2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ the Lord, unto according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto his life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called you unto his glory and virtue, excellence and goodness. God's called you into great things. He's not called you just to sit around and do nothing. He's called you into great things. And so Paul is amazed that these people have not only walked away from the gospel, but they walked away from the one that has called them. And he's concerned about the church. And in this letter, I feel that we can be concerned about maybe what have we walked away from. Are we walking away from the gospel? And I know you're sitting there thinking, no, we follow the gospel of God. We follow Jesus. We walk according to the Bible. Well, let me ask you this question, because I know we're thinking that we've not followed Buddhism or Hinduism or Muslim or any of those ism things. But what about this? As Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to those that hate you, and bless those that curse you, and pray for those that mistreat you. What do you do? Or how about love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself? What do you do? Or Jesus said, for if you forgive people their wrong deeds, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive your people, your Father won't forgive you either. Do you forgive? Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:6. What does your anger look like? Solomon wrote in Proverbs 23:17, don't let your heart envy sinners. Instead, always fear the Lord. Do you look up to God or do you look down? He wrote in Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but a man slow to anger calms strife. Where are you a pot stirrer? And just so that the young ones in the room don't feel left out, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. This is right. This is the right thing to do. Children, do we obey our parents? And by the way, if your parents are still alive, this applies to every single person in this room. See, if we have deviated from any of those things and a multitude of other things that the Bible writes about, then are we really following some other gospel? Because the Bible is the gospel, is it not? And just because we pick and choose what we want to do in here doesn't mean that we are really still following the Word of God. We either follow all of it because we claim to believe that the Word of God is the inerrant Word of God, or we aren't really following the Word of God. And so when Paul says, I'm amazed that you have turned away to another gospel, we have to ask ourselves, really, where do we stand in the Word of God? Now you may say, well, my goodness, where are we at? How is that going to hold us? What are we going to do about that? Well, Paul gives us some great answers. I'm glad you asked those questions. Flip over to Galatians chapter 2:20. I got 10 minutes to finish this. In 2:20, Paul says this, for I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Here's the good news, folks. You're dead. Say it with me. Everybody ready? You're dead. Actually, don't just say, I'm dead. Say it with me. Ready? Horace, ready? Here's, how do you do that, Michael? It's like this. I'm dead. Okay, they're not doing it with me, Michael. What's the problem here? You got to say it. I'm dead. The reason you're dead is because if you have Christ in your life, you are not the one alive, are you? That's what Paul's saying here. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, then you have died, and we could go to a multitude of scriptures to show this to you, but we don't have time for that tonight. Go to Romans chapter 6. That'd be the first place I go. What shall I say? Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall I live in sin any longer? And continue on down through that chapter. We have died and been buried and rose again with Him. Right? We're dead to sin. If we have died and Christ is now alive in me, then guess what? I am dead. Who is alive in me? Only Christ is alive in me. So therefore, we should walk around and say, I'm dead. Because only Christ lives in me. But there's some things that come with that. There's some things that we have to recognize when we say that Christ is alive in me and I'm no longer alive in myself. When you're no longer alive in yourself, guess what? You no longer own anything. Because you can't. Who owns all your stuff now? I'll save you the trouble. God does. Because if He's alive in you, He's taking possession of all those things. I know He already owned them all anyway, but I'm just saving you the trouble. See, we have to understand that when we turn our life over to God and we give Him the possession that He owns in us, the possession He already has. I no longer live, Paul says. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in my body, I live by faith to the Son of God. So love me and give myself, who loved me and gave myself for me. Paul's saying, I live through faith. I'm just doing what God's asked me to do in this shell that He's let me be in. But it's Christ who's directing me. It's Christ who's moving me. It's Christ who's allowing me to go and do the things that I need to do. It's not me, it's Christ. And so if He wants this body to go and be crucified, then so be it. If He wants His body to be in chains and chained up in Rome, then so be it. In 2010, we had a house fire in our kitchen. Destroyed our kitchen and a bunch of other things. And lots of people come and said, hey, oh man, that was terrible. I'm glad your house didn't burn down. I said, my house? Not my house, it's God's house. If He wants to burn it to the ground, that's His business. He's in control of those things. And when we relinquish the things that we have, then we can handle whatever takes place in our life. And that seems like a cliche and just a nonchalant attitude, but it's not. When you allow God to be in charge of those things, then you can just let go of that stuff and deal with life better. And that's what Paul wants us to come to understand. That if our life is not our life, but Christ is in our life and He is in control of our life, we can deal with life better. Number two. In Galatians 3:27. Paul says, I'm going to start in verse 26 to give you a little context, but it's right there. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized unto Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs with according to the promise. So if Christ is alive in you and He is in you and you are dead and you're living through faith as Christ, then Paul says, now that Christ is in you, he says, now here's what you need to do. Put Christ on the outside of you. Don't have Christ just on the inside of you, but put Christ on the outside of you. Don't walk around with Him hidden inside, but put Him on the outside where people can see Him. Okay, you can raise your hands if you wish. I'm going to ask you a very delicate question. How many of you in here like the Kansas City Chiefs? Yeah. And so, you might walk around with a Kansas City Chiefs jacket on because you like the Kansas City Chiefs. And you might walk around with that jacket on. Or the Royals or the whatever. And you'd say, man, I like them, so I'm wearing a jacket, and I'm gonna show those colors, and I'm gonna be excited about that. But maybe, you put on the Cardinals jacket. Now, if you're a Cardinals fan, don't get mad. I don't know who you like; it doesn't really matter to me. Listen, if you don't like that team, but you just put that jacket on, does that make you a fan? But see, people think you are, don't they? Just wearing it doesn't make you that person. And many of us try to put on Christ so people think we have Christ, but we really don't. And what Paul is trying to encourage us with here is that not only should Christ be living inside of us, but we need to truly be clothed with Christ. So people know that we have the genuine thing in our life. See, if we have Christ in our life and we are genuinely clothed with Christ, then we'll be able to stand in the true gospel all the time. And it will allow us to do the last thing that Paul encourages us with. And that is to allow Christ in Galatians 6:1 to flow out of our life. It will allow Christ to flow out of our life. How do we allow Christ to flow out of our life? Christ is in our life. We've been clothed with Christ. Christ is in us. He's on us. We need to allow Him to flow out of us. Here's what Paul says in Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in a sin, anybody here ever sinned? Don't raise your hand. You who live by the Spirit should restore the person with a hammer and a shovel and angry words and beat him as senseless as possible. I love those looks out there. You're all like, what? I had a different version up here. I had to search long and hard to find that one too, by the way. It says, restore him with what? Gently. You hear what I'm saying? Gently. You know, one of the worst things that happens in a church is when somebody stumbles and falls and we come alongside them and beat the living tar out of them. I grew up on a chicken farm. I grew up raising chickens. When I was in elementary school, we used to hatch chicken. I don't know if they even do that anymore. We had little baby eggs, and they hatched little chickens, and they grew too big, and we couldn't keep them in school anymore. And so the teacher said, anybody want to take them home? And I said, yeah, my dad said I could take them. We took them all home, 100 of them, right? And so we raised them up, and one day my dad called on the phone, and he said, hey, go out and butcher those chickens. And I was like 10. Butcher them chickens? No, can't do that. They're my chickens. Dad said, I'll give you 50 cents a chicken. I said, no problem. He said, they're my chickens. I'll go kill them. But you know, there's one thing I learned about chickens in all the years that I've worked on chicken farms, and many of you know this too, that when a chicken gets a taste for blood, they're no good for anything. They will continually peck everything and anything. Even people. I mean, they're mean. And Christians can be the same way. And Paul clearly tells us that we are to do what when somebody stumbles and falls? What? Be gentle. Listen, not a single person in this room has ever lived a sinless life. So, we ought to take the lesson from Jesus who said, ye without sin cast the first stone. And from the oldest to the youngest, the Bible tells us, they left the room. Why? Because they knew that they all had sin. We need to understand that the best way that we can allow Christ to flow out of our life is by being gentle in helping people through the struggles they're going through. And we all go through struggles, amen? But watch yourself. Here's the thing he says as he continues through verse 1. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Because that's the real struggle, isn't it? In that help to try to help somebody, sometimes we can get caught up in what's going on. So we have to make sure that we are staying in the Word, staying strong in the Word of God, watch ourselves so that we're not tempted, carry each other's burdens. We talked about this morning. In this way, you will be filled with the law of Christ. And just in case you get a big giant head, remember, keep it all under control. If anyone thinks that they are something that they are not, you deceive yourself. Each one, verse 4, should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone, not comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. You say, well, wait a minute, we're supposed to help other people. Yes. But you need to also take care of your own responsibilities as well. In other words, Paul's saying, don't just slack off just because you want other people to help you. If you know that you can do your responsibilities, do them. But when you see somebody needing assistance, you come alongside and help them. Because that's how we allow Christ to flow out of us. If we want to stay true to the Word of God, if we don't want to be that church that Paul might say, hey, I'm amazed that you've moved away from the gospel, then we need to have Christ living inside of our life. Let us die to Christ, as Paul would say. Allow Christ to be alive in us and then put Christ on us so that the entire world can see Christ in us. And then by that, we can allow Christ to flow out of us so that the world will truly know that Jesus is truly alive in us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us this evening. We thank you for all the things that you allow us to do. Lord, we ask that as we think on these words that you have given to us tonight, we ask that you would just encourage us with them, and that you would just strengthen us by them, and that over the time and the days to come, that we would just see ways that you would move us and strengthen us and show us where we would have opportunities to improve and change. Lord, we know that all things are done by your power and your might, and even sometimes we've tried to do things and we've just struggled with them. And Lord, we just ask that your hand would truly be upon our lives. We thank you for each one that's here tonight, and we ask that great safety as we travel home. We just thank you and praise you in your precious name. Amen.